Hallelujah. We thank God you've tuned into this message by David Entry at Charis Church. No hand can help you with the fulfillment of your destiny but the word of God. May God's hand align you further into your destiny through this word.
Amen. Well, let's get into God's word, which is the most sure word of prophecy. Hallelujah. How many of you are enjoying the book of John? The book of John is the book. I mean, it is just so good a book. Amen. Anyway, John chapter 5. Last week I was talking about Jesus, the Son of God. The Christian belief. When we believe that he is, when we say we believe that he's the Son of God. When someone tells you, I'm a Christian, it's supposed to imply, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what, when someone says, I'm a Christian, the implications are very wide. For instance, when I say I'm a Christian, I'm implying that I'm a child of God. I'm implying that I have the nature of God. I have the seed of God. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm implying that when I die, I'm going to heaven. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm implying that Christ died on the cross for me. I believe that his death on the cross was for me. When I say I'm a Christian, it means that I believe that Jesus is the only way to God. When I say I'm a Christian, it means that I believe that Jesus is God. I believe there is God. When I say I'm a Christian, it means that I believe the Bible is the word of God. How can you say you're a Christian, but you don't believe the Bible is the word of God? You are not a Christian. How did you become a Christian? How did you become a Christian? Maybe you have not been taught to understand that the whole Bible is the word of God. But one way or the other, you believe that this is the word of God and the Quran is not. So, if you say you're a Christian, it means that you believe this is the word of God. Else, you can't give us any reason, basis for you being a Christian. No, nobody really gets born as a Christian or as, let me, is it that word Christian? Sometimes I'm not excited using it. But no one gets born as a child of God. From your mother's womb, you are not. You became a child of God at some point. Like I was explaining last week, he who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So that means that there are people who are not born of 1 John 5:1. That means there are people who are not born of God. They are not. So who are those who are born of God? It tells us. He will believe that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That opens another chapter of what does it mean for him to be the Christ? Who is a Christ? Are there different type of Christs? If we don't teach these things, someone will hijack you somewhere and begin to, and some of the ideas you have never even heard. Oh, that's what it is. Ah, they never taught themselves, but who will tell you? If the preachers tell you, you become like them. So they are trying to keep you in ignorance. Anything that you can validate in scripture, throw it away, is demonic. Any kind of godly ideology that is not in line with scripture. Even they can quote a scripture, but if it's not in line with scripture, there are two different things. You can quote a scripture, but out of context. All right, let's go back to John chapter 5. So when you say you're a Christian, it means that Jesus is the Christ. That's what you believe. And later we can talk about when we say he's the Christ and all that. So let me just say it in a few words. When we say he's the Christ, he's talking about the one spoken about in the Old Testament, that he's coming. Simple as that. So the Old Testament, the central message of the prophecies was Christ. The prophecies were always talking about Christ coming. And then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what is he about? It's about Christ. That's the biography of Christ. Then Acts is about how the message of Christ, or Christ, message about Christ, began to spread. And then the epistles is about explaining Christ and the works of Christ. And the Revelation is about the coming of Christ. So really, the whole book is a hymn book. It's about him. Right. Now, when you come to John chapter 5, I will want to read from, this is the story of how Jesus healed a man. And he told the man, verse 8, rise, take your bed and walk. Verse 10, and the Jews therefore said unto him, who cured you? John chapter 5. The Jews therefore said unto him, him that was cured. It's a Sabbath day. They said, it's a Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to carry your man. You are not supposed to carry anything on a Sabbath day. And then he said, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up your bed and walk. And then they asked, hey, what man is that who said unto you, take up, not the one who healed you. He said, the fact that on a Sabbath day, somebody asked, let's look for that person. Somebody asked you to take up your mat and walk. Now, this man was born paralyzed. He was 38 years old. Yeah. Thank God he didn't enter his 40s with that condition. 38 years old. Jesus sees him at the pool of Siloam. He said, I have no man. When the water is dead, who puts me inside? And he said, will you be made whole? He said, I have no man. He just said, enough of your talk. Just take up your bed. Just get up. What do you want? I want to be, just take your bed and start walking. So he didn't say be healed. If he said be healed, he would have automatically gotten up. But he gave an instruction that will also bring him on a collision course with the Pharisees, whose laws could not heal, whose laws could not deliver anyone. So he told him, take up your bed. Now, the man is paralyzed. He can't pick a bed. But for him to take up his bed, that means that he's actually getting healed. So if he refuses to take his bed, he has rejected his healing. So that's why he told the guys, it's not my fault. The one who made me well is the same one who told me, take up your bed. So in my attempt to obey him, I became well. I don't know who I'm talking to. In your attempt to obey God, you end up getting married. The one who made me well, the same told me, take up your mind. The one who is telling you, break up with that boy because of the mess you are going in, is the one who is trying to get you married. Yes. So, Jesus told the man, carry your mat. The guys asked him, why are you doing that? He said, the one who healed me. They said, who is the one? Who had the guts to tell you, pick up your mat and walk? He that was healed did not know who it was. Verse 13. Jesus had conveyed himself away, and a multitude being in the place. After all, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing comes upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews, yeah, I have seen him. It was this guy who made me whole. Therefore, this verse 16 is very interesting. I'll come to that. Therefore the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done this thing on a Sabbath day. They persecuted him and wanted to kill him because he has done this on a Sabbath day. Verse 17. Jesus answered and said, he is now complicating matters. He said, my father is working. Therefore, me too, I'm working. Hey. Verse 18. Then they made it. Therefore, the Jews sought them more to kill him. Why? Because he only not had broken the Sabbath. Now he has gone further by saying that God was his father. Now, some of the things I want to underscore in this teaching is that people don't believe in Jesus simply because of miracles or because there's an explanation. Doesn't matter explanations you give to them. It doesn't mean they'll believe. So there's no need trying to soak the metal with water. It won't dissolve. All right, so there's no need to try to explain yourself to people with antagonistic questions about scripture. It does not invalidate who God is. Their story is so insignificant, it doesn't change the scope of things. Oh, but maybe if I explain it to him, he will not go to hell. Don't make that your problem. Because unbelief is not due to lack of evidence. Unbelief is not due to lack of evidence. Don't forget this. They wanted to kill him the more, not only because he's broken the Sabbath, but because he said God was his father, and everybody with Jewish common sense knew what he meant when he said God is my father. What did he mean? Me and God are the same. He said, I'm God. There was a place he healed, he told them in Mark chapter 2, the one who was sick, they brought them through the roof. He said, your sins are forgiven. They said, this guy, why is this guy blaspheming? It's only God. Who can forgive sin but God? Then he knew what they were thinking. He said to them, why are you thinking like that? Which one is easier? To say, pick up your mark and walk. That one, if I say it, I have to prove. It has to be shown. Or I say your sins are forgiven. It's easier to say your sins are forgiven. But for you to know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. What does that mean? That means that for you to know that the Son of Man is God. Because Jesus was a rabbi. And they knew that it's only God who can forgive sins. Right? They said, why is this man, verse 6, why does this man blaspheme, verse 7, why does this man blaspheme? Who can forgive sins but God? Who can forgive sins but God? And then he said, for you to know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I mean, he's telling you that God is on earth. What again should I tell you? Jesus never shy away from making claims that he's God. I'm talking about when we say Jesus is the Son of God. That's what he means. John chapter verse 18. Chapter 5 verse 18. When we say Jesus is the Son of God, because he said God was his father. So when we say Jesus is the Son of God, it carries weight. Don't take it lightly. When believers, we say Jesus is the Son of God, it is a very weighty thing. So when we say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, what it means is that I believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. That's what he meant. They said he was making God his father. By doing that, he was making himself, Jesus equals to God. That's a simple equation. Jesus equals to God. Jesus plus zero equals to God. You take the zero to the other side of the equal mark. I know some of you don't know that. It becomes Jesus equals to God minus zero. It's a working of miracles. Everybody thinks it's a miracle. In a quadratic equation. Let's take it back. So, Jesus equals to God. Let's just say that together.
Jesus equals to God.
Do you know the implication? That is what makes a person a Christian. Mm. Why am I saying that? If you're a Christian, one thing is non-negotiable. Jesus is the Son of God, period. Anytime anybody crosses that, you cross them out. It seems simplistic, but it is foundational. Yes. Is someone getting what I'm saying? Yes. I don't believe in that. That's why you are not a Christian. Yes. I go to church, that's what make me a Christian. You mean these chairs are also Christians? Being in church doesn't make you a Christian, for goodness sake. You can go to church regularly, like I used to go to church many times a week, 14 times, and I wasn't a Christian. I was actually a mass server. I was altar boy. You know what an altar boy is? Altar boys. They eat their shoe bread. But I wasn't born again. If I died, I would have gone to hell. I wasn't a child of God. I was practicing Christianism. I was in church, but I didn't know God. I believed, this is a very interesting thing, I believed in the Bible. I believe it, that this is the Bible for Christians, the word of God, but it really didn't have any bearing on my life. So I accepted it, but well, Jesus was not Lord over my life. So there are different shades of people who believe that they are Christians, or some who say that, me, I don't want to believe anything. I believe there's somebody there, but you know what? When I die, we'll figure it out. It will be too late. It will be too late. So Jesus said, my Father is working, therefore I work. Now look at the text quickly. What verse are we? Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said to them, very, very, I say unto you, the Son can, oh my goodness, do nothing by himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. This is interesting. First of all, he makes a statement about his nature. He said, me and God, we have the same essence, same nature. Then he didn't stop there. He came, me and God, the works we do the same works. So we are equal in nature, we are equal in works. Are you seeing what's happening?
Yeah.
Continue. Look at that. He didn't even stop there. Look at that. What verse are we on? Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Let's go on. Verse 21. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth who he will. He said that I have power, just like God has power. So God raises the dead and quickens them the same way the Son also does this. So now we don't have just same nature, we do same work, and we have same authority. Wow. Did you see that? Now continue. Let's go to the next verse. For the Father judges, for the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. Then he goes on, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. It's like, if you don't honor the Son, you have dishonored the Father. He that honoreth not the Son is there. Honored not. Now, it says that we are equal in merit when it comes to worship. So, when we come to church and say, God, I worship you, it's not different from saying, Jesus, I worship you. He says that if you cannot honor the Son, you dishonor the Father. So he says that he receives worship. Huh? How many of you agree that this is getting quite serious now? He receives worship just as the Father receives worship. He deserves worship just as the Father deserves. He goes as far as saying that you can't claim you are honoring God and dishonoring Christ. Anyone who dishonors Christ is in no way honoring God. You can't say that I won't worship Jesus and end up worshiping God. Those two don't go together.
Yes.
Anytime you hear Father, automatically Son is there. When you say I worship the Father, by inference it means I worship the Son. So they all deserve worship. Jesus was saying some serious stuff. Now, 24. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death to life. These are not claims of an ordinary human being. The next verse. I'm showing you something. I'm going somewhere. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall, and they that hear shall live. Wow. So now, he, from the text, you realize that essence, he said, I and the Father have the same nature. I and the Father do the same work. I and the Father have the same power. I and the Father have the same authority. And towards the verse 30, it speaks about anyone who hears my words has the truth. So now he's talking about he has the truth. God, as just as God has the truth. In other words, the truth he speaks is the same truth God speaks. He and God, not verse 24. Now let's jump to verse 29. I want to take you somewhere quickly. Verse 29. Let's go 30. This now, look at what he's saying. Now listen to Jesus. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which have sent me. He said, I don't do anything. Everything I do is what the Father wants done. There's no difference in my works from what the Father would do. So he says that I can of my own self do nothing. And I can't judge the way I want. Whatever I hear, that's what I do. I don't do my own will. Jesus is saying that, listen, when you see me and all that I'm doing, that's the works of the Father. Now, this leads me to a very interesting point. Verse 31. Verse 31 says that, I bear witness of myself and my witness... if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, what he's saying is that someone comes and makes such huge claims, there must be something that must qualify, tangibly prove that what he's saying carries weight. All right, that is very important. However, in John chapter 12, Jesus told them chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. Yeah, chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. He said, I'm the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Look at verse 13. Interesting one. He said, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bear record of thyself. Your record is not true. Because even though what Jesus was saying was true, he said, there must be something outside of yourself. If all that you say is based on what you are saying, then it's not... completely so, because we need something more than yourself. Even though what he was saying about himself is true, Jesus had three witnesses or three evidence to show something outside of himself to show that his claims were right. In the book of John that we're reading, in John chapter 5, verse 31, Jesus said, if I bear record of myself, then my witness is not true. Look at the next verse. He said, there is another that bears witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. Jesus said, I'm not alone in this matter. There is someone else who is bearing record. Now, let's see who Jesus said is bearing record. Verse 33. He said, ye sent unto John and bear witness unto the truth. So, John the Baptist was like a national celebrity. Bible said in Matthew chapter 3, John chapter 3, in Luke and Mark chapter 1, everybody was going there, including Pharisees and soldiers. They were going to John. So, in fact, it got to a time, Jesus said, you sent to John. You come to a Pharisee, says, I really want to do this God thing well. He said, you know, there's this guy. They were sent because now anyone who appears and says that John was not an authentic prophet, he's going to put himself into trouble because you're going to make yourself public enemy because the Jews knew that this guy is authentic. They knew that he's authentic. That's why at a point in time, they came to ask Jesus, by what authority are you doing these things? And he said, I'll also ask you a question. John's baptism, was it of God or it wasn't of God. Now, if they say it was of God, Jesus said, so why didn't you believe him when he said, I am the one? Now, so they can't say that. And if they say it's not of God, Bible said this, the people all accept that John is of God. So if they dare say that John is not of God, that's bad press. That's bad press. It's going to work against them because they can't deny it. So do you know what they said? They said, we cannot tell you. He said also, me too, I can't tell you by what authority. It's in your Bible. Put it on the screen. He said, and when he was coming into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of people came unto him and, as he was teaching and said, by what authority do I this? And who gave you the authority? The next verse. Jesus answered unto him, I also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, likewise I'll tell you by what authority I'm telling. What's the question? He says that the baptism of John, where did it come from? Of heaven or of men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say he's a man from heaven, he will say, why didn't you then believe him? Because he was telling them that Jesus is God. If we say he's not of men, all the people bear him witness. Go to the next verse. The next verse, verse 20. But if we say he's of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. So what do? They think they are smart. So they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell you. And he also said unto you, neither can I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. So Jesus said, I don't bear record of myself. There's one who has a witness who is greater, a witness about me. He said, you sent to John. John chapter, quickly, by my time. John chapter, he sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. Look at the next verse. It's getting interesting. He said, but I receive not testimony from man, but the things I say, that ye might be saved. But these things I say, that ye might be saved. Let's go to the next verse quickly. Let's get out of here. He said, John was a burning and a shining light. What the original Greek was, is a burning lamp. It was shining. You couldn't ignore it. And you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. You were okay with, oh, the guy is good. You were okay. The guy is good. That means John was dead around this time. You were okay. For a season. So, first of all, he said, what I'm doing, the first witness that shows that I am of God, that shows that I am God, I'm the Christ, I'm the Son of God, is pointing to John the Baptist. So John was Jesus' first evidence, first witness, first testimony that Jesus is of God and God has sent him and he is the coming one.
Hallelujah.
So that we don't sleep the sleep of death. So who was the first?
John.
John's witness. And he pointed them to John. If you want to know, you're asking me, I'm bearing record of myself? No. Yes, my witness is true, but there's somebody else who is buried to it. John the Baptist. Number two, go to the next verse. Let's see what the next verse says. He said, I have a greater witness than that of John. Ah, there's even something greater coming. John bore witness and it was authentic, but there's something even greater than what John was saying. The miracles and the works I do, they bear record of me.
Yes, Lord.
He says, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So my works should tell you God has sent me. The works, Jesus, you remember in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Jesus Christ, a man attested by God, of God, by signs, one, the works. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. He went about doing good. And it was the evidence of the fact that God was with him. So his work. So number one was John the Baptist. Number two, witness that he was the Christ. He is the one from God. He came from God. Number two is was his works. Number three, let's go to verse 37. He says, and the Father himself who sent me. Let's read it out. Let's go.
And the Father himself sent me.
One more time.
And the Father himself sent me.
Hallelujah. All right. So, let's read that scripture again, the first line. Let's read it aloud. Let's go. One more time. So, who is the third? What's the third witness of Jesus? God. In fact, when he was being baptized, even a voice came from heaven and said, God who sent him has also borne witness of him that this is the Christ. So when he says, I am the Son of God, and it's all on the back of because he said he was the Son of God. And I want to draw something to your attention, and I try and run up now. When you read John chapter 12, verse 37, John chapter 12, verse 37, you find out the source of unbelief. It says that, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed. Did you see that? Unbelief is not cured by evidence. He's done so many miracles. When you look at chapter 2, he did some things and they say, oh, they believed. But believing, when we Christians say we believe, or you a proper believer say you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, it's not the same as, oh, well, we believe that he's a good guy. They are trying to make you believe that Jesus is just a good guy. Jesus is just a wonderful guy. But they can't stand it when we say he is actually God. He's not just a guy. He is God. He's not a God. He is God eternal. Yes. The blessed hope, the appearance, glorious appearance of our God and Savior, Titus 2:30. God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's our God and our Savior. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The blessed appearance of God and our Savior. Great God, actually, and our Savior. So, Jesus is not just a good guy. He is the God-man. That is what saves. Brothers and sisters, that is what saves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How do you understand that statement? He gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. They said, but how can God have a child? With who? Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand. You are bringing this thing low to a infantile level. No, we are talking about serious matter, sensible matter. God had a son before he produces. And when we say God's son, is not pointing to the fact that he was created. In the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh. It just transitioned. He didn't actually transition. He wrapped himself. He took upon himself the nature. So he already had the divinity, but he didn't have nature, human nature. But God decided, you know what? I'm going to take upon myself the human nature and live an ordinary human life. So much so that people will not realize that God is walking amongst us. Yeah. He looks so ordinary. The Jews said, today's reading, remember today's reading? Okay, actually, tomorrow's reading too. I read it. Tomorrow's reading says that he makes himself God. He must die because he makes himself equal with God. He says he's God. In our law, anyone who says he's God must die. So Jesus said he's God. He said he was actually God. Now, so John chapter 12 again, verse 37, John 12, 37, they didn't believe him. Look at verse 38. We are going to 40 today. That the saying of Isaiah might be fulfilled, which spake, Lord, who, this Isaiah chapter 52 verse 1, or 53 verse 1. Who has believed our report? To whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? Let's go to the next verse. Therefore, they could not believe. There's something going on here. There's something going on here. There's something going on here. Therefore, what's the therefore? Because Isaiah said it. Look at verse 37 again. I want to show you something. Look at verse 37 again. Verse 37. But though he had done all these many miracles before them, yet they believed him not. They did not believe. They did not believe. Isaiah said, who has believed our report? Therefore, they could not believe. Two things. They, so it means they would not believe. They would not believe, and they could not believe. So the first time, they cannot say, God didn't make me believe. If you leave human beings by themselves, all of us, naturally, we won't believe. It doesn't take, it doesn't matter how much explanation we give about God. If you will not believe, you won't believe. And because you won't believe, you fall into the category of a natural human being who cannot by yourself just choose to believe. Do you understand that? We don't have, this is the point I'm trying to make. We don't have what it takes to believe that Jesus is God. So how come I believed? God gave you the faith. Said, for by faith, by grace are you saved, through faith. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. And that not yourself, is the gift of God, that faith. For you to be able to say, I believe in Jesus, is the gift of God. In John chapter 6 verse 44, he said, no one can come to the Father except you. He said, you can't come to the Father. He says that no man can come to me except the Father who has sent me draws him. So you can't one day choose, okay, I'm going to believe. I chose I was going to believe. Why? Because God worked in me. For it is God who is at work in you, both to do and to will and to do of his good pleasure. You can't. So let's stop. That's why I said that statement is profound. That unbelief is not unbelief. What is not due to lack of evidence. And yet, God is not responsible for the unbeliever's unwillingness.
Wow.
Do you understand that? You can say, God, if we leave you, you won't actually believe. That's why they did not believe. Then it caused Isaiah, said they would not believe. And they even take it further. In John, we just read John chapter 5, verse 16. They actually decided to, they persecuted and wanted to kill him. So first, they will not believe. Then they cannot believe. And now they actually want to. That is the state of a fallen man. Now, this is a serious Christian theological point. It's at the core of Christian, in fact, it's called, it's the theology, fundamental theology of the gospel. The gospel is we are all fallen human beings and we don't have what it takes to save ourselves. We don't have what it takes to choose God. God has to choose us so that no one can boast that me, I'm so smart and I chose God. No, you didn't choose God. When we, most of the time we say, I found God. Who was lost? It's like you're walking in the forest, you've lost your way, and you stumble and find yourself. Oh, finally, I found God. You found him? You are lost. I'm saying something so fundamental in Christianity that I just don't. We can't afford for you to be ignorant about these basic things. They may sound simple. That is why some people don't really care about these things. Yeah, whether Jesus died, I mean, I believe I'll go to heaven and all that. It's not that simplistic. It's so fundamental. Because until your faith is strong or your understanding of these things are strong, for instance, the more you love Jesus, the more you love the word of God. Why? Because it's the word of God is the only thing that can really reveal Jesus properly. So if you claim you love Jesus, you end up loving the word of God. And in John chapter 5, that's where we are going. John chapter 5, verse 39, 30, 38. Look at from verse 38. I have to run about. Look at verse 38. And ye have not, he says that God does. Okay, let's start from 37. That's where we. Verse 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Look at the next verse. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him ye believe not. That is a sign that you don't have God's word. That's the sign that your attitude towards Jesus tells us your level in God. He said, this is a sign, because if you had God, you would have believed the one he has sent. You don't have his word in you. That's why you don't believe. And he said, you search the scriptures, thinking that in them ye might have eternal life. And yet, these scriptures are pointing to me, and you will not come to me that ye might be saved. They said that Moses is our lead. He said, you think Moses is your disciples of Moses? Look at it. For if you have believed Moses, you believe me. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. You say you are Moses' disciple. Why are you having problems with me? Maybe there's something sinister here. You are actually not disciples of Moses, you know. He said, because if you have believed Moses, there's no difference between what Moses wrote and me who am standing here.
Yes.
Some of you, when you're children, you know your most favorite cartoony character. If we have mascot and you see it, you won't miss it. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can be so wild. When you see it, I used to like it to get your attention. Because you grew up with that. Some of us, it's Mickey Mouse. If you see Mickey Mouse right now, my God, me, the cartoony character when I was in primary school, you want me to tell you, the cartoony character I used to like was called Tintin. Tintin. Yes. And his Snowy Dog and Captain Haddock. Yes. You don't know Tintin. Yeah, you guys don't know Tintin. And then there's another one. Asterix and Obelix.
You know that.
Yes. Every time, since I came to UK, I've been looking for Tintin. Because I used to have this hair and a Snowy Dog. Right now. It doesn't matter how old I am. If I'm traveling and I see anything, statue, Tintin, it'll get my attention. Because I've always, it's been a main character in my upbringing. If you are reading Moses, the main character in Moses' writings is Jesus. And now Jesus has come and you say, we will kill you. You don't know Moses. You never followed Moses. You don't have the word of God in you. That's why every preacher, the criteria for the soundness of a preacher is not his prophecies, it's not his miracles, it's not his following, it's not his oratory, it's not how much he, it's not the powerful words he uses, it's his Christ-centered message. How much Christ you get to discover in his preaching, in his teaching. If his teaching does not reveal Christ, he is going below standard. As an authentic, accepted, heavenly accredited minister. Verse 30, 40 again. Are you learning something? I'm running. He says that, and you will not come to me that you have life. Verse 41, Moses. I receive no honor from men. Verse 42, quickly. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Hey! I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Yeah.
Wow.
How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do not think that I came to accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you put. You see, he says that the writings of Moses are actually an indictment on your own belief. So if it comes to the Father, I will not condemn you. The writings of Moses you have will be condemning you, because the word of God is giving witness of me. So not only John the Baptist gave witness of me, John the Baptist did, but not only him. The miracles, the works I do also give witness of who I am. And not only that, there's something even greater. The word of God that is greatest of all is giving witness of me. Moses wrote about it. That's why I said the Old Testament was talking about, the prophecies were talking about Jesus. The prophecies of the Old Testament, the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talking about Jesus. Acts talking about how they spread the message of Jesus. Epistles were explaining the work of Jesus on the cross and who Jesus is. Everything is talking about Jesus. And yet, you say, I've been reading the Bible and I don't see it like that. You have not been reading the Bible. You don't love God. You have unbelief and you die in your unbelief. That's what Jesus said. When we say Jesus is the Son of God, brothers and sisters, it's not something light we are joking with. That's why when somebody says Jesus is not the Son of God, I'm about to drop a very serious statement. It might sound a little bit extreme, but it's biblically true. When you say Jesus is not the Son of God, I don't know how I can worship together with you. It's almost like going to the shrine and bowing in the name of inclusivism, in the name of oneness and unity. I should now begin to practice what I know is against the foundation of my work and worship to God. Are you getting what I'm saying? When we say Jesus is the Son of God, listen, that is our message. And that is what saves us. That's what makes us sons of God. That's what makes us Christian. Not our behavior first, not our works. So if anyone thinks that's not fair, they should go and pick on God. Bible says that in God's wisdom, it's pleased God that the world through wisdom will not know him. But through the foolishness of preaching Christ to save those who believe. It might sound so bizarre. It might sound so stupid in somebody's, well, it might sound unfair. But God, in his wisdom, has designed that it takes the foolishness, if you call it so, of preaching Christ as the Son of God, who was born by a Virgin Mary on this earth, who lived a full human life. He lived a sin. Today's reading. He said, what accusation do you bring against him? They said, we don't have anything. What accusation? What has he done? They don't know what he has done. And yet they said, kill him. What has he done? Watch out. Why is that so important? Because Jesus was genuinely sinless. Really sinless and faultless. So they couldn't find any fault in him. He lived a sinless life and yet died the vilest death for sinners. So that those of us who were plunged into sin because of Adam's sin can be introduced into life because of Christ's obedience. Christ's obedience, then Christ must be a different, not an ordinary person. He's God. Even though he's in the very form of God, did not count equality of God something to grasp, but made himself of no reputation and became obedient even to the death on the cross. To the death on, he became obedient and died on the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him. He died for our sins. Brothers and sisters, this is a non-negotiable Christian doctrine. It's non-negotiable. If you fault in any of these, you are not a Christian. Jesus said it. He said, the word of God, if you believed in Moses, you believe in me. Jesus, the Son of God.
Thank you for listening to this message by David Entry. We pray you have been strengthened and enlightened. You can connect with David Entry on all relevant social media platforms, including Instagram and LinkedIn. You can also hear more messages from David Entry on all relevant streaming platforms and the Charis Church app. Don't forget to like and share the message. Be blessed.